Welcome back, Nerdles. Today is February 16th, 2018. I'm John Roland.
This is Anthony Richards.
And we're actually missing our normal third co-host, Elliot. He had to go get his car inspected because he is a law-abiding citizen.
Yes.
Here with us today, we actually have an old RMU student, Malik Frierson.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
He's actually not all that old. I think he's only 20.
Yeah.
He used to go here.
20 is pretty old, though.
You're right. It's a quarter of a life.
I walk like I'm an old man.
True.
Sunburn.
Is he on camera? I think the person who's just in that seat is automatically on camera, too. Camera 2 is the roast cam.
We haven't tested the theory yet. We'll see.
You're right. Next time we have to rotate, so Elliot will sit there and I'll sit here. We'll see if...
The only constant is me, because I'm the only one who knows how to work this.
I know. This is the only reason I said we don't just rotate all of the seats.
Interesting.
You mind if I get us started off here with the musky news of the week?
Go for it.
All right. So as you all know, if you were paying attention last week to our show... The Papa Muskie, he actually released his Falcon Heavy rocket. They did the test flight and everything went pretty smoothly. And this is great news because now this means that Papa Muskie can actually start delivering important payloads into us. So the first time he only released his Tesla rover, right?
Hey, and that is important.
You're right. Hey,
fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
The Tesla Roadster he put in space is supposed to collide with Earth in about 1 million years. just an interesting little snippet for you.
I wish to be that rich to shoot.
You need to like talk. Yeah, right? You need to talk into the microphone, Malik.
I hope to be that rich. I can just shoot my stuff into space. Like, I love what happens.
Elon Musk because he's the modern day mad scientist.
I mean, there's a reason for it actually. The reason he sent his Tesla into space is because it happens to weigh about as much as, like, the crew and all the equipment they would have in the first place does. And it wasn't somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
So it was his money on the line. If it exploded, then it exploded.
Yeah.
And if it didn't explode, he now has a car. And if he ever goes to space, he can drive. He's the only person who can drive in space.
Oh, those memes have been amazing. With just like the astronaut and the Tesla around Earth.
I just want to say that regardless of whether or not we all know that the flight succeeded. But even if it had failed, regardless of which way it had turned out, it's just the equivalent of him burning that cash. But it's fine because he has the money to just burn that cash.
Yeah, wait, I wonder, how's he going to charge his car in space? Oh, no.
Well, maybe he made it solar-powered.
Yeah, solar-powered cars would probably be the way to go, space cars.
But back to the main topic of the story.
Yeah.
So
how's mileage going to work?
Very carefully.
There's a lot you got to consider.
Mileage is going to be handled in AUs now.
I was about to say that same thing until I realized, wait a second, to drive one AU is... An exorbitant amount of time. Exorbitant? How do you
exorbitant.
Put it? Exorbitant. Oh, thank God. You. It's exorbitant amount of time.
But okay, so back to the main story. So, SpaceX has announced plans to launch an internet satellite in space. Sunday, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's coming up soon because, of course it is, because it's the Muskie schedule.
And one of the more interesting things about this is that he's not launching it for somebody else. It's his. He's going to make an ISP, probably. Like, he has plans to make an ISP.
For all of the listeners here who aren't familiar with ISP, could you please explain it to them, John?
Internet service provider.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So he's trying to become an internet service provider, and that's also going to help him fund his Mars colonization mission. If it all goes according to plan.
True. We got 7 years to make it happen.
But he's literally like, I'm just going to join the ISP race. I need extra money for Mars. So this is the only appropriate option.
I mean, there's so many things he could do. Literally, like, he just sold flamethrowers and people bought them because it was Muskie's flamethrowers.
Yeah, but that's flamethrowers. If you give me a flamethrower, I'm playing with it. The fact that it's his is a bonus.
I mean, but here's the thing. If you gave me just musky lemonade, I'd be happy with it. If he, like, opened up his own lemonade stand, he's all like, I'm doing this to fund my mission to Mars, I'd be like, take my money, please. Where's my bank account? Just have it.
Musky lemonade sounds so unappetizing. I'm going to drink something called musky lemonade. Like, that's the best name to come up with that.
You know who Elon Musk kind of reminds me of? Clay Johnson from Portal.
Wait a second. Which one is Clay Johnson?
He's this... The old scientist in the second game?
Yes. No, I know who exactly you're talking about now. It took me a minute, but yes. Yes, when I definitely...
When life hands you lemons, make combustible lemons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is pretty much Papa Musky.
Yeah, but ideally it gets up in, like, the mid-2020s. So, it like, not the pro, not the satellite, but...
The Mars colony?
No, the ISP.
Oh,
hopefully it's up and running by the mid-2020s.
Mid? Wow, that seems a while from now.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad.
I mean, to be fair, you need a good chunk of satellites, and they're not cheap.
I mean, but Musky has some money.
He may have money, but...
He's also friends with the richest man in the world.
Comcast has more money.
Yeah.
Comcast and Verizon and Time Warner are probably going to fight them to the death on the possibility of this. We know this.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Okay, but, so mid-2020s doesn't seem... That seems actually pretty generous.
But, you know, I have hope like because that. We saw Google try to do it with Google Fiber, and it's not that it went horribly, but it was so expensive that it's basically stagnated.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing somebody else try it and maybe succeeding is exciting because I'm just going to say that...
Musky's very good at taking other people's shortcomings and then...
The other companies are notoriously bad at customer service.
Okay. Yeah. I used to have Comcast. I can verify that one.
But moving on. So I don't know if either of you two have heard this story because it's... stupid, to say the least. But people were upset about it.
Yeah.
So Apple's new HomePod, their ripoff of Alexa and the Google Home and all of those. And Sonos's One speaker, which is, again, same basic thing, different company, have been leaving residue marks on wooden tables and stuff from their...
Vibrations?
Yeah. Not from their vibrations, from their vibration-resistant coating. Because what it does is when the speaker vibrates, the coating, like, moves.
Rubs. Yeah.
And then it moves off the speaker onto the table, and it leaves white residue that stains your table. And people are upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat reasonably.
Yeah, but I would kind of be a tad upset about this as well.
I wouldn't be horribly upset. There's an easy fix. Don't put it on wood or something like that.
No, they've announced, like, don't put it on wood. This is a bad idea. We didn't know it was going to do this, but now that we know, don't put it on wood. It's one of those things that people are also irrationally upset about.
Yeah.
Because people are like, it's damaging the wood. No, it's damaging the finish of the wood.
Yeah.
You can get that fixed. You can't fix wood, but you can refinish your wood.
I understand it's like a very misquote, but again, Apple does not have a great track record of late.
No, Apple doesn't have a great track record since the
death of Steve Jobs.
'90s.
Yeah.
Since the leaving of Steve Jobs, rather.
I'm not sure what else to say about this one. It's just like, put a cloth or something like
coaster, non-wooden table.
True,
tablecloth because you know that's not a modern invention at all.
What's this thing have official name? Like, what is it?
What? The Sonos,
the HomePod thing. Does it have official name?
HomePod.
Oh, HomePod. Oh.
It's the Apple HomePod.
Oh, okay.
It's the first thing that they've released that doesn't have I in its name in a while.
Oh, that's beautiful. Can you imagine if they called it the? I said they could call it the iHome, but that's already a thing. And then I was like, they could call it the iPod. And I was like, wait, that's already a thing. And now I realize why it doesn't have I in its name.
Yeah. Now they're just reusing product names because they're lazy. Mm. Not putting I in front of it.
Oh, wow.
It's hard enough to name things, though, so I'm not going to hold that.
I mean, Apple could try, though.
If you have a niche when it comes to naming something, I'm going to say stick with it because it's hard to name something.
Apple could literally name something Flaming Circus of Deceased Clowns, and people would love it and be like, this has the best of names because Apple fanboys, they support Apple endlessly. Flaming Circus of
Flaming Circus.
Yeah, and you know, everyone has their fanboys. Android has them. Samsung has them. They shouldn't. But that's
I'm a fanboy of not Apple. That's what I'm a fanboy of.
But Apple fanboys get all the hate because they defend Apple for everything.
Oh, it's horrible.
I think this fanboys really defend everything that's indefendable, you know?
So what you're telling me is that Apple fans will defend everything that they can.
Would they defend Apple?
Not even from Apple. They'll defend anything stupid.
Well, like, I meant, like, from their respective fandoms. You know, like, fanboys are just, like, they're fan. Like, there's fanboys. They'll just, like, defend this and that. It's like, how can you do that? Like, I never got the whole Apple EarPod thing where it's, like, wireless ear buds and these like no cords, but people defended it, so I don't know.
Because this one I will give them credit for, they sound fine. They sound like the normal ear pods, and they avoid the clutter of wires, which is decent.
But they just look so easy to lose, and that's gonna be a problem for someone like me.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I lose my phone every like 30 minutes.
true.
I find it every 30 minutes too, but
I mean, that's impressive. I lose mine every 10 minutes and can't find it.
When I'm home, I don't know where my phone is. I pick it up, I put it down, it's not where I left it. No one moved it in the meantime. It's just somewhere else. There's been days where it's fallen into my couch. I'm like, I left this on a table. How did this happen?
Technology has come so far nowadays.
Yet still not far enough. Still can't find my phone.
That's great.
That is great. Someone needs to build in a feature so that it can be found after, you know, it decides to disappear and move somewhere else.
I mean, to do that would require them to care.
Yeah, that's true.
And
care about something more than the cheddar.
Tech companies aren't known for caring, so. But on to other news. A Bitcoin miner in Brooklyn actually got a notice from the FCC. I want to say it was this week.
Yeah, FCC, I don't actually know Federal Trade Commission.
Was it this week? I've never heard
FCC, not FCC. FTC. Right. Federal Communications Commission.
Okay.
But there was a singular Bitcoin miner in Brooklyn, New York, who had such a massive operation running that it interfered with T-Mobile cellular network. and you heard static if you were trying to call anybody in or from Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, have you ever put a phone really close to a microphone?
No.
Let's find out.
I don't know if it'll work on these. I think it's only specific kinds. But, like, also, if you ever have, like, a guitar, like an electric guitar, if you send a text and put your phone right next to the guitar, you can hear the text going out or coming in. That's basically the issue that happened here.
Now, my response to this is, like, I'm not even upset. I'm just impressed that you could have an operation that intensive, right, that it actually starts to interfere with the cellular network of an entire borough of one of America's largest cities.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm baffled that it's possible, but I'm also disappointed that we had to get to this point.
Yeah.
Especially because crypto's not doing the best it has been.
Well, not at the moment, but it's beginning of the year. Crypto always takes a dip at the beginning of the year, doesn't it?
They did, but it hasn't recovered very well at all.
I personally feel like it'll get back. I am personally certain that it'll make its way back.
I'm not. Currently, Bitcoin sitting at 10,000. That is about half of what it was at the beginning of December. Which is far worse than any dip it's taken in the past. Like typically, it goes back somewhere around like the end of January, middle of February. We're at the middle of February, and it's still just as low as it was at the beginning.
Well, now, here's the thing. The issue is that within this past year, Bitcoin became a whole lot more popular within the media and things like that.
Yeah, Bitcoin exploded.
Exactly. And so as a result of that, it definitely rose because of this, right? Then, because people started pulling out, like, around Christmas time, which is, the theory that Elliot postulated and the one that I definitely agree with, everyone else who was basically joined on the bandwagon sees that people are pulling out, and now they want to pull out, and this is the reason why it's fallen so hard. And I still feel like it'll eventually come back from it, though.
At this point, I'm not as sure about that, mm-hmm. because we're also getting to the point where people are starting to look at Bitcoin and think, do we actually try to regulate this somehow?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why it's still so low, because that's not off the table yet.
Yeah. I see.
But in other crypto news, actually, Anthony, you might have seen this one. Philip DeFranco is now trying to back a new cryptocurrency.
Yeah. I don't remember. I remember that there was an old video. It was not super old, but I think it was from last year, where he was making a joke about starting his own cryptocurrency because of some food chain put crypto in their name, and like their stocks went up immensely. And he's like, "Great, we're gonna start our own cryptocurrency."
Well, he's not starting it,
mm-hmm.
but
he's back. He's supporting like a new one. I heard it's on the scene.
Yeah, he's supporting a new crypto called Props,
mm-hmm.
which is, this is where things are going to start getting really muddy.
Yeah.
Not because it's shady, but because there's a lot going on to explain here.
Okay.
So as everybody knows, YouTube has kind of went down the drain in terms of supporting its non-main creators.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's supporting a new social live video app that's basically a YouTube clone called Rise.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's the same basic thing as YouTube. It's just not YouTube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about Rise is that the way it will pay people is in a cryptocurrency called Props. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's directly related to Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's some kind of relationship going on, a business deal, or if it's like it just happens to be that that's the one that they picked, and it's just conveniently named Props. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But
props to you for getting your Rise on Rise.
Shut up.
And the punishment begins.
But so, they're going to pay out a certain amount of props per like and view and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, that's kind of what YouTube does with real money,
mm-hmm.
but it also makes props, you know, variable. If it's going strong, you get more. If it's weak, you get less.
Okay.
And you also get some for interacting with the community as a non-content creator.
Okay.
You get money for leaving comments.
That's interesting. I feel like the way that works is it's like a kind of a rewards point system, basically, for like the whole comments thing. It doesn't make sense that you just be like, oh, you're typing.
Mean, it's not like you're going to get like a significant amount.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to get like a dollar per comment. That'd be ridiculous. At that point, I would learn to code a bot that just automatically comments random things on random videos
because
mm-hmm. free money.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
and then you probably wouldn't be the first or last person to do that.
No, I'd be like in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and it would definitely create an issue from there. But at least Rise would then be doing well, which would mean that its creators are getting paid more.
Yeah, but like, I don't understand how this is going to work.
Mm.
I don't foresee it working overly well, personally.
Yeah.
If it was just the content creators getting paid, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But since they're trying to also give rewards to the community, I don't know how I feel about that. Especially because I haven't seen anything that's very in-depth about how community gets
rewards. It's called Rise.
Rise. R-I-Z-E.
R-I-Z-E. Not like the pizza place.
Nope. But I'm curious to see where that goes. I'm not surprised to see DeFranco doing this, though.
Yeah.
Especially because he doesn't even make money off of YouTube anymore, actually.
Yeah, this is a lot of mostly that. True.
No, like, he just doesn't advertise and monetize, period.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken away his rights because he talks about news, and he doesn't talk about only friendly news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So instead, he's just decided he's not going to monetize anything, and all of his income comes from, like, shirt sales and stuff.
And Patreon?
I always forget Patreon's a thing.
Yeah, I used to be a Patreon supporter, and I had to stop it. But, yeah, Patreon, I remember when that wasn't really big, and then just everyone's using Patreon now. Yeah,
I remember when Patreon used to be on, like, a per-upload basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember when I heard of Patreon the first time, and I was like, ha, this doesn't sound like it's ever going to actually catch on. And now we're here, and every creator is using it.
I mean, if I value their content enough, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It's just, I didn't really feel like people were going to be, I didn't feel like people are going to want to throw their money at so many different things that so many creators are going to be able to actually get decent revenue from Patreon.
Well, I mean, if it's between that or a cable bill,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let's say your average cable bill is like $60, basic cable and maybe a couple of extra channels.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut that. $10 a month goes to Netflix. $0 a month for Hulu, because why would you pay for something that just gives you ads anyways?
True, right?
$15 for Spotify for a whole family. So you're still left with $35 a month. What do you do with it? You can save it, or if you didn't ever intend to do anything with that money anyways, pay people who you actually enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm. Or actually enjoy the content of, regardless of whether or not it has to be watched. Like, if we were on Patreon, and listeners. I know. Maybe one, if Elliot's mom really decides.
Elliot's mom started not even listening to us today, because Elliot's not here.
We get, like, maybe one Zimbabwe dollar or something.
Cool. Fractions of a penny. That's
We are just rolling in it.
So, just going to go through the last two news things real quick, because I want to get to your guys' thoughts on Black Panther.
Oh,
okay.
First thing, AMD released a new Ryzen APU, and the only thing that's special about it is that it finally has onboard graphics, and it's better than any of Intel's chips.
Hmm.
So, for new people trying to build a computer but don't want to pay,
exorbitant,
you know, their whole fortune for a graphics card, this is a good holdover.
Oh.
It'll last for a couple of years. It's better than the alternatives.
I will never
it's an serviceable APU
computer.
What's an APU?
And there was a new Incredibles trailer that you guys actually told me about.
Yeah, it was great. Excited for that movie.
I'm excited for it. And what?
What's an APU?
an APU is moving a on. Form of CPU. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And a CPU is the computer chip that does all of the actual work for your computer.
Okay.
It's what makes it run.
I see. Pretend we're stupid for a few seconds.
Yes, let's just pretend.
But the Incredibles trailer, it seems like they've completely gotten rid of the possibility of the movie being what Toy Story was,
mm-hmm.
where it just skips ahead 14 years.
Yeah,
it's legit just right after we left. Mm-hmm.
I had heard that the beginning's going to come right back, but then I thought maybe they'll skip ahead a couple of years.
That's what I wanted.
But nope, it looks like it's going to be direct sequel.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, I might be more interested in that.
Yeah.
Because looking at the trailer, all of the mundane things I would never think about watching,
yeah,
I want to watch them.
Yeah.
I want to watch Mr. Incredible read a story to Jack-Jack and fall asleep.
See, I maintain the mundane parts of superhero worlds are like the best parts. It's like, oh, how does Batman do the dry cleaning? It's like, I love stuff like that. That's why Incredibles 2 is also like very hype. I love math is math. Like I remember like
why would they change math?
Taught math. Everyone has a dad or parents. Like why'd they change? Why is it done this way? You know,
it's just like common core, stupid. That's why.
See, now...
Wait, do they have Common Core in the Incredibles universe, or do they have normal math still?
They have superhero math.
Is that Common Core?
Yeah, it's like it doesn't answer the question.
You have to be
Andrew.
A superhero to answer Common Core math, because they want you to solve impossible problems. You know, actually, I saw an example third grade math problem, and it was there's 49 dogs at a dog show. There are 36 more small dogs than large dogs. How many small dogs are there? And the answer is 42.5. 42.5 dogs. Why? I don't know if that's Common Core, but that's stupid.
I don't know what that is, period. Back to superheroes. Away from this half
that's
dogs.
Unfortunate. See, no, it's 42, right, dogs, and then one cat dog, which only counts as half of a dog.
But that's a small dog. But then there's a half of a big dog, too.
Yeah, you could maybe change the size.
And there's no medium dogs at the show, so it's not like that's an option. The deeper you look, the less you know.
That reminds me of the whole "now you see me" thing. The closer you look, the less you see.
And then you realize that the second movie was awful.
I haven't seen the second movie. Fun fact:
I tried, I couldn't.
I forgot those movies were a thing. But thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
First one's decent, even if only
I like
effects.
The first one.
I heard not great things about the first one, so I didn't check. I was like, oh, Mark Ruffalo's in it. I guess let's check it out. Like, oh, don't check it out. All right.
I mean,
cool.
I'll agree. Don't. It's not a fantastic movie, but I still like it for what it is, personally speaking.
If you haven't seen it, I don't recommend seeing it.
Yeah, you don't really need to.
But if you've seen it, you know, it's like it's okay. It's just there's better things to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of things to watch,
ooh.
How was Black Panther?
Oh, my goodness. Black Panther was amazing. We just got out of it, maybe like 40 minutes ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's
still very
the reason we're
mind.
Late today.
Sorry.
Fun facts. Yeah, that one's a bit on me.
I loved it. What did you think of it, Anthony?
So... I don't know if my opinion is going to be an unpopular one, but I only thought it was an okay movie. See, my whole issue with the movie is that for a lot of the problems that were presented...
Do you care about spoilers then?
Well, I'm not going
to... Don't spoil it. It's brand new.
Okay,
anyone
yeah,
who just listened to it doesn't want it spoiled.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention any specifics. Okay. My only thing is that I personally feel that for a lot of problems that were presented in the movie... The immediate solution was vibranium.
Wait, you mean the solution's a lot of adamantium?
Or Uru?
Yeah.
Ooh, Marvel's stepping up their game on answers here.
So that being said, I feel like the final act was good. Because in the final act, the solution to the problem was just vibranium. But I feel like for everything else in the movie, there was a problem that was presented, and it's just all like, yeah, our technology is basically magic. Let's use it to take care of the thing. And that's how I felt about a lot of the movie.
I'm not fully understand, because vibranium, in the comics, it is the wonder metal. It is the metal that can do about anything. It's just like, why wouldn't you use that metal that can do about, you know, anything?
And that's fair, but when you're going to try and create a story and you want it to also be compelling, you need to somehow create a pitfall so that...
There was major pitfalls for the characters in that movie.
I mean, and so, I love the characters in the movie. I do love the characters themselves. The story itself is what I have an issue with, personally. And that's not to say it was a bad story. It's just that I feel that there could have been better challenges that were presented to the characters.
They could have Star Wars The Last Jedi'd it. Where nothing goes right.
Oh, yeah.
Literally nothing.
Honestly, I love The Last Jedi for...
I also love The Last Jedi.
I can tell by the hat.
Oh, really?
And I that's one of the major reasons I love The Last Jedi, because, for so much of the movie, right, you feel like, oh, yeah, they're the good guys. This obviously works out for them until you realize, you get to a point where you realize, wait a second... Everything's about to hit the fan, and then everything hits the fan, and you're like, wait a second, but they're the good guys. This isn't how this works. And it was just great for that reason. Yeah, I don't feel like Black Panther really did that all that well. And I'm not saying that it really had to go the route of making everything go wrong for the characters, but I feel like there needed to be better problems.
Right. Everything just went too right.
Exactly. It was, and it wasn't even that it went too right. It's just that whenever there was a problem, they could make it go away. That's what my issue was.
I wish I could do that. It'd be magic.
Literally. I won't get into spoiler territory, but like, they do that, and we ended up with what happens with Killmonger. That is addressed. They do, oh, we'll just like make this problem go away, and that's like, see, like the core and point of Killmonger's entire character.
Uh-huh. But Killmonger's character. All right. So that whole thing is like one of the few instances in which they actually succeeded in, like. The only reason I'm going to say that they had to do that with Killmonger is because, you know, they have to have a villain somehow, right?
Well, they had several villains in there. Well, they had maybe...
I would say they probably had, like, three good villains. They had Killmonger, and then I'm not going to list the other two because those are that enter spoiler territory.
Well, Claw's in the trailer. Everyone knows
Claw. So, like, Claw. So you had Killmonger and you had Claw. And I won't...